ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It's going to be high school hoops centric today. We'll have a little time probably at the end to talk about some Super Bowl topics. What do you want to know about the Super Bowl? What are your thoughts on the Super Bowl? Let's hear them on 225-9698. And maybe you guys fire out some topics that we can discuss at the end of the show. 225-9698, that's that text line. High school basketball coach from out at Merritt, the girls coach, and also, by the way, the superintendent, Jeff Doherty, will be in the house today. We'll talk about his season. Got a couple of other topics I want to get his thoughts on, because he's got a unique perspective amongst high school basketball coaches, also being the superintendent. And so, you know, we've talked shot clock. I know that's a topic that people want to know about within the high school basketball realm here in the state of Oklahoma. Also, another thing always gets attention right around this time of year, because the playoffs are about to start, is that ranking system. And, you know, how is that working? How do you fix it? Can you even fix it? I think it's hard for it not to be the way it is, but it needs to be tweaked a little bit. So we'll ask him about those things, about his team as well, heading into the playoffs starting into a next weekend. Right off the top of the show, Elk City's games last night. the hoop schedule for today. We'll talk about the ranking system ahead of Coach Doherty being here. And then also, there's a board meeting tomorrow with the OSSAA. I looked at the agenda. Excuse me, and I don't see anything, at least line item wise, about the small school state tournament and the sites and what that's going to look like. And see, have you heard anything about it? I thought we might get clarification on that tomorrow. Maybe we still will, but as far as the agenda, that's not specifically stated on that agenda for that meeting tomorrow. 225-9698 is that phone or text line. 225-9698, give us a call, shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of those things. I really want to get what you guys want to talk about as far as the Super Bowl goes. 225-9698. You're going to be outside the listening area. Stay in touch with us on KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all the radio stations with KADS. It's got Cool 94 KECO. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. It'll hit the website tomorrow or tonight at midnight if you want to get a sneak peek. ThePennyNews.com. Go out and pick up a fresh or the last copy, this week's copy of the Penny News. You might be able to double dip tomorrow and get you a brand new one in some locations tomorrow. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV back online tonight with a bunch of games. And then, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast is available. KADSAM.com or also iTunes. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
My voice is struggling just a little.
Well, you better get it right because you got a game tonight.
I know. It's one thing for those kids to have to play five games in 9 days. It's another for me to have to call them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, I'm not quite there in shape-wise.
There's no substitute for you.
No, there's not.
There's no break for you.
Nobody comes. It's just me.
Just you.
I did have a kid approach me last night about running the camera.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
For free?
I told him we would contact him at the first of the year next year.
Maybe for a
thinking about
$25 gas card or
thinking
something?
Thinking about multiple different camera angles for football.
Oh!
That's what
okay, well.
That's what I was thinking, if that is something that we're going to end up doing. Or anything else. But anyway.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I love the options.
I didn't want to tell him no, because here's the deal. His brother ran the camera for me.
Oh,
and
okay.
I know his brother did fine work.
Yes.
His brother was out there last night on senior night. Cam Mercer.
Awesome.
It was his little brother that wanted to run the camera. I was like, dude, we already kind of got that filled this year, but let me, all right, I'm going to write down your name, and I'll remember you when we get to next year.
You know, I don't know how many of our listeners are our Paragon broadcasters, but, you know, the camera guys and gals, you know, they're doing that for free, basically, you know? I mean, they're valuable.
School spirit.
And just a heads up. this might be worth a text to everybody, but I'll put it out on air. You know, might think about those guys at the end of the year. I know I did last year. I got them a little something that they wanted. And they thought that was awesome. I'll tell you what it is later.
Okay.
But just, you know, kids like food and they need gas money and they need, you know, stuff like that. Just heads up.
Okay, there you have it.
A little PSA for you.
Last night, Elk City started the four games in 8 days that'll commence or finish up, I guess, next Monday down in Elgin. Two good games, two close games. Actually, the Elkettes, they're at 42-26 with about 3 minutes left, and it looked like, okay, best performance in a while. Then all of a sudden, a couple of missed free throws, a couple of turnovers. Chickasha makes a few threes, and you look up, and it's a three-point game with 10 seconds left, and the Elkettes are on the line to try to make it, obviously, a two-possession lead. Freshman Ella Satilli knocked down the second free throw to make it a four-point game, which proved to be the difference because Chickasha banked in a three with a second left, and the Elkettes had to get it inbound and all that kind of stuff. But they end up winning 45-44. You know, it's one of those when you get done. I asked Coach Ham this. You know, he said, "I'm gonna stick with the positive. We won the game. You know, we've had plenty of negative to talk about through a 5-game losing streak here coming out of that Altus tournament. So we're gonna stick with positive. But at the same time, it kind of left you" with just a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth because they played so well for 29 minutes. And then the last three, it was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Please end. Why is the clock running? Why won't it go to zero? But Satilli made the free throw, and the Elkettes end up winning. The boys' game, it was one of those crazy, like, it was just a back-and-forth, who-had-the-last-run-in-them type game. You know, the Elkettes the Big Elks are up 11-3 right off the bat. Then Chickasha tied it at the end of the first quarter. Then Elk City scored like 12 in a row to start the second. Then you look up and it's a 4-point game at halftime. You know, it was just up and down, up and down. Chickasha led by four with a minute or so to go. They missed the front end of a 1-1. And then Caden Dunlap, the sophomore from Elk City, knocked down two threes to give Elk City a 2-point lead. Chickasha got an offensive rebound put back, and then Dunlap made a floater in the lane with about a second left to win it for Elk City 66-64. So two good games on senior night in the Pioneer Center, and the best part of it was two wins for the Brown and White at the end.
Supposed to win on senior night. Looked like a good crowd, too, just when I tuned in. I tuned in late. I had a thing I had to be at, but looked like a good crowd, very engaged crowd, and a fun night.
Yeah,
I mean, that's good. I mean, you need to win, you know, and based on the circumstances with the game had to be moved, you know, you just play, you know, let's face it, you got your tails whipped on Saturday to bounce back, win at home on senior night. That's all around a good win, good night. I don't care how it looked.
That's
you
right.
Get the W's, you got them. Let's move on, look ahead to Altus.
At the end of the day, that's right. And then, yeah, there's no time to celebrate because, yeah, down at Altus tonight and then over at Newcastle on Friday, and finish up with Elgin a week from yesterday on that Monday of the playoff week. So it's going to be fast and furious. I know both coaches are kind of trying to get things done in practice, but also be cognizant of what's coming up. You know what I mean? It's kind of a balancing act there for those two guys. I know Coach Stevens said he felt like his guys needed to go hard yesterday for about an hour, and they did. And it showed that the intensity was back for the Big Elks after a couple of lulls last week at Bethany and against Tuttle. It just didn't seem like the same team. You know, even in losses, they've been competitive and they've really, you know, the effort had been there. Those two last week were a little bit different than what we'd seen all year. Then last night it was, you know, that winning attitude was back and they were able to pull it out of the fire there at the end. I want to ask you about this ranking stuff because it's becoming a topic on Twitter. I've seen a bunch of people talking about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen anything.
Well, you're not following the same people I am,
not.
Apparently.
All I see is OU and OSU fans bickering over a newspaper on Saturday.
No, nobody cares about that.
like, what are we talking about here?
No, it's just different coaches. I guess maybe I follow some coaches or whatever that are – And we've talked about this with Mark a time or two, but it's been on the football side of things, not necessarily the basketball. And really and truly, it's more important in basketball than it ever is in football because the results take care of all that stuff in the on the football field. You know, the rankings don't make a hill of beans when it comes to playoff matchups. So, you know, the way this works, if you don't know out there, is the coaches rank the teams all throughout the state of Oklahoma, all the coaches rank the teams in their classifications. And then those rankings are what goes into compiling the brackets and the playoff pairings and all that. So, So essentially, the coaches decide what the playoff brackets look like. And when you say that, it comes out of your mouth like that, my immediate thought is, huh? Well, that doesn't make sense, you know. But at the same time, even though this is a smaller state in the grand scheme of things, it's impossible. It can't be the media. There's no chance in the world that media can get out and see everybody. You know what I mean? That's just that. There's no way. And I think that would almost make it worse. I know you and I, and when I think about it, I would rank the same teams at the top every year just because I've heard of them and I've seen them, you know, no matter what they look like. So that can't really happen. So I think it's got to be this way, but there's got to be a better way to do it this way, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, because there are coaches in Southeast Oklahoma who are having to basically, I mean, without looking, I mean, I know it's getting more accessible. Film is getting more accessible, but some, you know, our coaches really sit down and really studying, well, how did Ceiling look against that team the other night? Or how did La Mega look? How did Hammond look?
I think a bunch of people would settle it just looking at their schedule.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I was going to go. You know, you can just look at a schedule and go. But I've seen some votes for really teams that are really low, I'd say low, 11-12 range. They'll get some first place votes just because they've had like one loss. You know, it is, for lack of a better term, kind of a crapshoot sometimes.
Well, how about this? Just looking at the girls' rankings in Class A. You've got Weber's Falls is number 15 with a first place vote.
That's what I was getting at.
They're also 15-0.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
You know, now, when you look
and
at
I'm
their schedule.
Okay, what one coach voted them number one?
Well, I mean, why? Okay, I guess I could ask Wyatt and everybody. They're one of only two undefeated teams.
I see what you're saying. And it works both ways, you know. There
of course,
are,
now they've been
coaches
class,
over here.
They've also
at,
been Class B for years,
yeah.
And are just now in A. So the familiarity with them, because I promise you, if they were still in Class B, they wouldn't be number 15 at 15-0, because they would have started down there,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Now I'm not sitting here saying that they're great either, but at the same time, I think you're seeing a team that hasn't been around in that class that isn't getting voted congruent to their record. Now, you know, maybe they pay attention to them. You know, they played two ranked teams and they beat them both. Three ranked teams and beat all three. Whitesboro, McCurtain, and Crowder. All ranked and they beat all of them. So, anyhow, do you think there's a way to do it without the coaches voting?
It's hard for me to find a way. Because, you know, the beat writer at the publication in Oklahoma City doesn't know a hill of beans about those schools I talked about in Southeast Oklahoma or out here in Western Oklahoma. You can't put it on those guys.
No, I don't. I think it'd be worse. Just because
now, maybe a football model where wins and losses move you in standings. I mean, but that's a whole different structure that you'd have to come up with.
And, yeah, you don't have districts like you do in football.
No,
and there's way more teams.
But I think this is just the best of what we got. This is the best option we got. You put it in the hands of the coaches, you know, and they are respectable with each other. And, you know, and you hope so. And then when you have coaches that have seen a lot of fellow teams, and they're, you know, and this is a vast network. You know, coaches are there's a big network of coaches, and they communicate, they talk, and they ask how you doing, how's your team doing, and they're honest with each other. And so I can see where this is just the best option that we got.
Yeah, I think
you have to have this. I mean, it would take a full-time job of four or five people placed in four or five different parts of the state to keep track of how every team looks. You know, we don't have ESPN. You can't just turn the channel on or go to a DVR. Like I said, we're getting better at it with, of course, Paragon TV, and there are other formats out there where you can go back and maybe watch. But Are you going to do that? Are you going to sit down and go, okay, I need to get my top 20 tonight. I need to watch all 20 teams and see how they look last week.
Yeah, and even with Huddle, what most teams use
right,
now.
Right, there's you know, that. There's that network, I was talking about.
That's a network where you...
I just think this is the best option we got.
I think it is, too. Are you going to... At the end of the day, are you going to spend more time working on your top 20, or are you going to spend more time working on your team to win games?
Right, and I think you're right. And when it comes down to sitting down in their office, and I hate putting words in people's mouth, and I'm probably going to get some evil looks from coaches tonight, but they're not sitting down. They're looking at, okay, this is the last week ranking. I'm guessing how they do it. They go down, they compare records. A top five loss. Who they lose to? They lost to a top three team. Well, I won't move them too far. Oh, they lost to an unranked team. Well, I'll drop them a couple spots. And moving on. They don't see how they lost. Was it a buzzer beater? Anything like that? I just saw the L or the W.
Which at the end of the
day. Basically just the record. They're just looking at the record. The hardest part, I think, is the preseason, the first ranking that comes out.
See, that's the problem with that. Is I think it's the hardest, but I also think it matters the most because think about how hard it is for teams to move around.
Yes. It's easy to drop.
It's hard to move. If you're not in the top 20, it is very, very hard to be able to move. Heck, look at Merritt. I mean, last year they ended up, what, ninth or tenth, I think?
Right on the cusp.
I think they were ninth, if I remember right. So they start right in that area. They're 15-4. Their losses are against teams that are all ranked in the top 10 almost of their class.
There is such thing as a bad or a good loss.
Yeah, and they don't move.
Right.
You know, Silo, which beat them last year, whatever, they're 15-7. Their record is totally different now. But then when you start looking at, okay, who'd they lose to or who they beat, you know, Silo's lost to some good teams. Dale once, I guess. That's the number top five team, number three team in the class. You know, Latta's right up there at number five. But I just wonder if that much time is taken. Or if it's just, hey, this is my top 20 every time, no matter what happens. That's my concern. If what you're talking about is happening, that's about all you can hope for, right? Actually take the time to look at the top 20, and if you know of a couple of teams in your area or that you've seen that you thought, hey, they're pretty good. I wonder what their record is. Can I slip them? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that's the time that's taken, though. That may be the problem. And here's another thing that you have to depend on. Even if you're trying to make a solid effort at it as a coach, you're so dependent upon the other coaches putting their games in.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, sometimes you look up and you're like, huh? Why are this team has only played X amount of games?
Yeah.
And then you start looking at the schedule like, oh my gosh, they didn't even put their schedule in.
Yeah.
But then they're ranked in the top handful. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's the only system I think that can work.
That's the most frustrating thing as a broadcaster when you're trying to prep. You look like you've played five games. Well, clearly you didn't put in all your games.
That's
I don't
right.
even know what record
well,
you have.
And then how are you supposed to get ranked?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But anyhow, that's just something that it's a hot button issue right now amongst different coaches. I know the 5A's and 6A's, the final rankings were locked in this week as opposed to last. And so it's just kind of it's a weird situation, but I don't think there's any way to fix it. And the only way to fix it, I think, at the end of the day, is if you get slighted a little bit one year, you just dominate the next, right?
Right.
And then you change what's happening in that way for the next year. Hey, our guest is here. We're going to take a break. Come back. Superintendent of Schools, head girls basketball coach out at Merritt.
I think he drives a bus, too. I'm not sure. He does it all.
He probably brought one of the school super.
Probably did bring a bus over here.
The Denali or something in. Joined now by the head girls basketball coach out at Merritt. He's also the superintendent of schools, is Mr. Jeff Doherty. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, we were just talking off the air. There's a couple of statewide topics that seem to be kind of hot button issues right now. One is the shot clock. The OSSA sent out the questionnaire about that. It was voted against 65-35-ish. The smaller the score, the school, the less likely to be for it. What do you think about instituting a shot clock within the high school game here in Oklahoma?
Well, I think it would be extremely expensive for one, and two, it would be difficult to get the people to run that. It's going to require more people, and then you know, we already have trouble staffing what we have. So so yeah, I voted against it and not for it. I don't see the big issue at the high school level. So so yeah, I'm not for it. But if it happens, you know, we'll get after it and do it. So
what do you think is the advantage, supposed advantage, I guess, for the folks that are for it? Just not seeing somebody hold the ball for a minute? Is that the whole thing, or is it something else?
I really don't know, because you don't see that very often anymore, and you know, so I really don't know. If that goes into effect, though, you know, it favors the more athletic team night in, night out. So, you know, I don't know what they're thinking there. It's probably more to do with the college and just aligning more with the college game.
One other topic is
I'm sorry to interrupt. It's like, it's just to modernize it, just for the sake of modernizing. Like, everyone else does it, so why don't we? It just feels like that's what kind of the thinking is at the top, and it's not necessary. We don't necessarily need it. I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. It's what I'm hearing from you.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I would agree with that.
The ranking stuff comes, you know, at this time of year, people nitpick about that too. Jared and I don't – there's no other way to do it outside of the coaches being the ones to rank it, we think. Is that something that you would agree with, just because those guys see more people on a yearly basis?
Yeah, but it's so self-serving. And we're out here, you know, there's probably two-thirds to three-fourths of the in our class, and it's this way in every class, but most of the schools are in Eastern Oklahoma, so they control the vote, and they get together, and of course we do too, but we just don't have the numbers. But they manipulate it some, and you know, I've sat here just like, you know, this year, last year, you know, there'll be 10 to 15 schools that won't even have us in the top 20. And, you know, back when I coached before, we were 24-0, and there's 10 teams that don't have us in the top 20. And, you know, that's frustrating, you know, irresponsible and everything else. But I don't know of a better way to do it. So, you know, it's just something we may have to live with. They need to go in there and kick those people out that are just totally irresponsible in their voting. But you know, you're opening up another can of worms there, so that's just my opinion.
I'll let you voice that to the higher ups. We get enough trouble on the mic. We'll let you take care of that.
No, but so let me ask you this then. Is that something that you will use as motivation for your girls, the way that happened throughout the season and where you finish in the rankings this year?
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, those teams that don't rank us, and but like I said, most of them are over east and don't know what's going on anyway, so you probably won't ever see them. But there is some out here in western Oklahoma that, you know, and a lot of it, they forget to vote and whatnot, but most people try to do, you know, as a whole, they try to do what's right.
Now,
hey, do you know those coaches over there?
No.
You can send them a link to Paragon if you knew them. They could watch you guys every night.
Easier this year doing the double duty with the girls' basketball and the superintendent job? You kind of settled in?
No, it's about the same. It's, you know, extremely busy, it's good, and it's I've got a great bunch of kids and got good help out there at school with my administrative team, and they do a lot, so it's about the same.
Tell us about your team this year. 15-4 so far, just a couple of games, or one game I guess left on the schedule with Mangum coming up on Friday in the regular season. How have the Warriorettes been this year?
Been pretty good. I still don't feel like we've reached our potential. We've played a couple games where we've been really sharp and crisp, and but we still you know, I think there's still a pretty good upside, and I think our girls know that. And, you know, we had a great practice yesterday, and I expect that to carry on. And, you know, the key is obviously, you know, you got to keep improving. And I think they're willing to do that and you know, just improve every day a little bit. And if we'll do that for the next 3 or 4 weeks, then we can be pretty good by the end. And that's when you want to be playing your best. So that's what we're striving for.
You know, another question we've had for coaches, when kind of curtailing on rankings, but more so on the court, when rankings come out, district pairings come out, all that, but you still got a regular season to wrap up. Is that difficult to keep the girls motivated? Going, hey, we know where we're going for district. We know our path to the Big House, but you still got to take care of business. And then, you know, you don't want to overwork them. You don't want to get them hurt, but you want them to get them on a roll. So is that a delicate balance for you?
Oh, no, because, I mean, we worry about ourselves more than who we're playing and things like that. I mean, yeah, we do know what we need to do for that ball game, but we're more concerned about us and how we execute and how we, you know, play defense and communicate out there. And so it's more about us and making sure we improve and be the best we can and go from there. So no, it, to me, it's not an issue.
What's one thing you talked about continuing to improve? If there's one thing and you had a magic wand and you could touch your team here in the next 4 weeks to improve on the most, what would it be?
Oh, just their communication out on the court. When we communicate during ball games, that seems to be the thing that when we do that, we play pretty well, and when we don't, we're usually pretty sluggish. And then free throws, you know, have been just atrocious this year, and Coach Abby's been in charge of that. But anyway, hopefully that'll improve. We've been working on it, and you know, some of that, though, you can work on it all day, and it comes down to that. That's each kid's responsibility to be able to go make a free throw.
When you talk about communication, offense, defense, or just the whole thing in general throughout the games?
Just the whole thing in general, you know, being positive towards one another and telling them good job, and then also being able to say, hey, you need to do this, and just communication in general.
How much the success you had last year, you know, right on the doorstep of the state tournament, didn't quite get there. How much has that motivated the ones that came back to not have that feeling like they did in Chickasha a year ago?
Well, I hope it did, you know, and I've told the girls, if we get to that game, you know, we obviously didn't play good, and Latta was very determined and had been there before. And I think if we can get to that game again, I've told the kids, you know, we will play way better than we did last year. And it's a growing process and a learning process. It's, you know, there's very few teams that make that big step in 1 year. I mean, they do, but it's got to have a really special group to do that. But, you know, we're grinding it out and just trying to get better, and hopefully we get that opportunity again.
Looking ahead, you got Fairview first in district, then the the regional would be Watonga, and then maybe Hooker. Have you seen any of these teams that are going to be in your area, and kind of how do you match up moving forward?
Yeah, I went and watched Fairview last night, and they're pretty good defensively. They do have a hard time scoring. So, you know, if we play well, we should be all right there, and then it gets really tough in a hurry. Watonga is extremely athletic. Got three guards that are just really good players, athletic all the way around. And then if you could beat them, then Hooker's sitting there, who is, you know, as good as it gets in 2A. They're extremely disciplined. And then they've also got the just outstanding player who's already signed with West Texas. And so that would be a good challenge for us. So, but we go play well, we've got a chance every night.
Talk about your team. Who has been the ones that have kind of excelled throughout the season individually for you guys this season?
Well, we really just, you know, it's varied from game to game. on who steps up, and we've don't want to, you know, don't really have a have an all-star, but we've got a whole bunch of really good players, and we've had several different kids lead us in scoring throughout the year, and you know, my seniors got Daly Pollard and Jamie Peffer and Daly Taylor and Lexi Frazier have all played pretty good at times, and you know, and then they've had games where they haven't played. You know, we just need to get more consistent, and then our underclassmen, our juniors, you know, they've done a good job of stepping up at times, and then even go down to the sophomores. You know, Ella Porter led us in scoring the other night against Carnegie. So it's just kind of night by night, and whatever the defense gives us, that's kind of who leads us that night.
Well, that just described Mary in a nutshell, because for me personally, seeing them covering Canute, first time it was, I believe it was Peffer, way early in the season back in December, couldn't control Peffer. Then second time at the 5 county, I can't remember who it was, but it's like that is the biggest compliment I think for a good team. It's not going to be one player each night. It could be a different player that steps up. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and they're unselfish, and you know, so it doesn't matter to them, and they just want team success, and that's what we get with it. Usually is you know, where nobody cares who scores. It's the, you know, we've got some kids, Daly Taylor and Ella Porter, both play, you know, tremendous defense, and they take pride in that, and that's the, you know, that's kind of, we're kind of built on good defense, and that's there every night, and so we, you know, when somebody plays us, we want them to walk off the floor knowing that we were physical and played really good defense. So,
well, Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck to the Oilerettes throughout the end of the season. And eventually, maybe you and I can meet on the golf course sometime.
All right, that sounds good.
Head Coach Jeff Doherty of the Merritt Oilerettes, just about ready to go with District 2A through 4A starting a week from Friday. Take a break, come back, wrap it up on this Tuesday. Man, it feels like a Wednesday to me because there was a game last night. I'm still not adjusted.
Off. Yeah.
Yes. Anyhow, we'll wrap
don't
up.
Don't forget, you got to go to Altus tonight. Don't forget.
Hey, you know what's
that?
You know what's
get down that ice cream.
There's that ice cream down at Altus. Thanks to Coach Doherty. Always a good visit with him. And, you know, he's got that group rolling again in Merritt. As you said, they're so deep. And it's not just like one grade.
Yeah, that's what you want.
They
you
got them want, coming out. Back. You know, that's not going to be a 2-year run.
When you got your good teams out there, and you always know, well, they're good because of that one girl or that one guy, that one player. But that's not necessarily the case with Merritt. I mean, they'll have a girl that will step up each night. You know, it's like, okay, well, we got to shut her down because she got us last time. And I'm just speaking from what I've seen. I've seen him play twice. And – well, yeah, they shut down that one person, then the other person goes crazy. So that's a sign of a good team, good coach team.
Yeah, that's the thing I've noticed the times I got to sit down and watch when we weren't playing a game was, yeah, they're 3 and 4 at a time. It's kind of almost line changes like a hockey team at times.
Yeah, that's what I call it, a hockey a line change,
As they're playing. So yeah. Fairview is their district opponent. That'll be coming up next week. I was going to see when the brackets are going to be released.
So we get a schedule on that.
Right.
Yeah.
We were talking about that, Coach Hunt and I, the other day, just kind of historically which districts play on what night, you know, once you get that. I would imagine. Let's see here. See if it'll tell me.
Well, when, you know.
Let's go ahead and talk.
You know, I thought this. That Coach Doherty, when he came in, to, you know, I thought it was like, well, he's just filling a role until they find a guy. You know, no, I think he's going to coach him for a while and for good reason. He's doing a good job. Because I'd ask him, how long are you going to, off air, how long are you going to do this? He was like, until I quit. So just to rest any rumors, there's no coaching search happening in Merritt. They got their guy.
the bracket's tomorrow. I knew it was coming up because there's more lag time in A and B between when they release the pairings and when the games actually start.
Right.
So they've got some times. But as far as for 4A through 2A through 4A, it's now. So those pairings were released Friday, And the brackets will be out tomorrow, so we'll know exactly the game times and the days. Question on the text line, Dakota. Sayre is hosting Cordell in district. That was a question on the text line we had.
I'll be rowdy.
Listen,
isn't that rivalries right there?
Boy, it sure is in my house.
Oh. Yeah.
I can tell you this. In my house, that's the only team that – it's funny because Wyatt – he calls his mortal enemy Latta, which
okay.
seems strange, right? Because we're in Sayre, Latta, but that's the team that's beaten them.
Baseball.
And the T-ball beat them twice in the state tournament. And then the next year in Coach Pitch, it was one of the only teams that beat them that one summer. And so when he saw them in the state tournament two summers ago, he was like, I'm going to dream about beating Latta. I was like, okay, we're not even playing them, nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all great. It's great, but why don't you dream about beating the team we're playing?
Motivation. That's what you should yell at him if he strikes out or something. Go, you want to get beat by Latta again?
Yeah.
Keep your eye on the ball.
That's probably what they were yelling in the batting barn yesterday.
And then the team.
Latta's hitting. You guys aren't.
People are looking around. Latta's not even in this tournament. Yeah, what is he yelling happening? About?
But yeah, Sayre and Merritt are in the same regional. Now, when you look at it's Hooker hosting one district, Watonga hosting District 2, Wetonkawa. Merritt and Fairview are District 3, Sayre and Cordell are District 4. So that's the first regional of that area. And then down below, Minko and Riverside, Cashin and Stroud, Hominy and Pawnee, and then Amber Pocasset and Crescent. On the girls' side, the ranked teams, ranked being the top eights, are Hooker and Ampo. On the boys' side, I think it's Watonga and Cashin are the top eights. But both boys and girls area, I think they have five teams in the top 20. On the girls' side, it's Hooker, Watonga, Merritt, Ampo, and Minko. Boys may have six. Boys, it's Watonga, Hooker. No, wait a minute. Yeah, Watonga, Hooker, Minko, Cashin, Ampo. May just be 5-5. I had that written down all yesterday, and I didn't bring it back with me today, but I think that's right. And then, of course, the other area from out here will have the Hobart and Mangum and that group. In Area 4, I think is what their area is. Yes, Area 4. Area side is Chickasha. And actually, Mangum and Hobart would play in the first round of regionals. That boys' game was a doozy down at the Tri-County Tournament. Mangum made a buzzer beater to win it. Those teams are both ranked in the top 15-ish in the boys' side in Class 2A. Anyhow, so that's kind of a wrap. What's tonight? The schedules are so messed up.
Yeah. Let's do that, and then I want to talk about something.
Okay.
When we
that's
man,
fine.
I just had that pulled up. And by the way, the schedule is on Paragon TV's Facebook page, Skinny on Sports Facebook page. I try to do that daily now, and we'll really keep that updated during playoffs because there's going to be like, who do they play,
yeah,
where and when?
Absolutely.
You know, so I've been trying to stay on top of that. But tonight, Canute is at Corum Bible Academy. Eric is hosting Arnett. Could be a good girls matchup. Elk City, of course, at Altus. Arapahoe Butler is at Leedy. Burns Flat Dill City is at Cheyenne Raiden.
Ooh. I like that. Arapahoe Leedy. Did you notice what happened this weekend, Jared?
No, I was
My
so
Leedy Bison won the 270 conference title.
Did they?
They beat Shattuck 48-42.
They're coming on.
I'm telling you. Everybody jump on my bandwagon. I started that way back in January. Days ago.
All last month ago. Whole month ago.
It was at least a month ago.
Very good.
Anyhow, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about a guy that's been on our show, a friend of the show, you have either yelled at this guy or you've rooted for this guy, depending on what side of the court or field you're sitting on, and that's a longtime official who called.
Oh, man, I meant to talk about this yesterday,
yeah,
and I forgot.
Yeah, Mr. Leland Searcy. You know him. If you don't know him, you've seen him. If you've been to a high school sporting event, you know, frequently, you've seen him at least once or twice or three or four times, both on the football field and basketball court. Has he done softball, baseball? I don't know.
Probably.
He's done 41 years. He's retired after 41 years. You think he might have got behind the plate maybe a couple of times. You never know.
Yeah, I would guess.
I don't know.
Now, is he done, or is he going to go through the end of the season?
I don't know the particulars. I just saw a Facebook post, a really cool video, and a standing O he got in Moreland. And yeah, I thought it was worth mentioning. He's a, you know, he was spearheading the coaches or officials versus.
Right.
Am I getting it wrong?
No, officials versus cancer.
And raising a bunch of money for cancer research and
childhood and
pediatric cancer. Cancer. Thank you. And that's why we had him on the show. He had a great golf tournament involved with that, and I'm sure he'll probably still be involved with that. I don't know. We might need an effort to get him on. I'm sure he would be. I'm getting that announcement time to kind of settle down, and then we'll probably reach out to him. But been a friend to us, you know. My favorite thing was, I mean, he brought his own mic system to football games, and I could tap into it during our broadcast, and you get to hear his beautiful voice on Cool 94. But we didn't get him this past season.
No, we never. That was such a strange thing. We never did have Leland and that crew. You remember one of the most amazing stories that I can remember in Oklahoma high school athletics. You remember 3 years ago, I think it was? I think it was three. I was in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Cleveland for the high school basketball tournament, and it just happened to be the same weekend. It was the first year that they went to Wantland. So 3 years ago, I think?
I think that was three years ago.
I think it was 3 years ago. So Elk City, the boys are playing maybe the consolation finals at 1 o'clock-ish or whatever it was. And you see, like, the game, God, did it go into overtime? I think it did, actually. But then as soon as the game's over, one of the officials just rushes off the court. I'm like, oh, that's weird. It wasn't like it was one of those, like, get out of like, here so yeah, I don't get maimed or anything like that.
Controversial call,
right.
Get the yeah. heck out of Dodge, yeah.
Well, it turned out it was Corey Miller on his mm-hmm. on his crew, and they had gotten the honor for the first time ever to officiate a state high school football title game.
Ah.
And so he was having to – I mean, it was like up to the minute of the amount of time he would have to get there. And his guys, Leland and the rest of the guys, went in together to charter a plane to get him from Cleveland to Edmond on time to be able to be on the field with them as an intact crew.
Awesome.
To call that state title game in football. And he had the double duty of over there in Cleveland. So that was one of those cool stories. We never actually even asked him about that when he was on that day. I meant to, but didn't because he was rolling with the coaches versus – or the officials versus cancer. Man, it's amazing how much they branded coaches versus cancer, right? Because it just rolls off your tongue without even thinking about it. But, yeah, a heck of a career, and you're right. He was – we didn't have him this year, and so we weren't able to get that voice because that enhances – everything that's going on when those guys wear those microphones and we're allowed to tap into that.
Tap into it.
And hear the call
cool.
from them.
We can stop talking. We could hear the call. There's no confusion, you know.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't know all the – I mean, you know,
like the signs,
you know, the offsides and you know what – we know what ejection is, you know. But we don't know some of them. And they'll – you know, to hear it is cool. So – and that was cool. Not every official crew has that. So – if you go to a football game and you hear on the loudspeaker the official addressing the call, that doesn't happen everywhere. And that's not because of what facility you're at. It's really because of what officials are there because they bring that equipment in and tap into the PA system. But, yeah, I mean, but his career, I mean, 41 years. I saw 41 years. I thought, wow, that's a long time. Probably a lot of stories, great memories. And, you know, you mentioned the state title. I wonder how many – I'd love to get him on and – ask him how many state title games have you did? How many state tournaments have you been at? How many, you know, what's your favorite memory? What's the craziest game, craziest outcome that you had a hand in? Maybe he doesn't want to answer that question, but that's a heck of a career, and he will be missed on the court.
I mean, no
he was
doubt.
Always a great official, very fair, and called it as he saw it.
Yeah, I've only seen those guys once all year in basketball. Him and his son, I think Zach is his name, and then another guy. And it was way back before Christmas. They might have been there for the Kingfisher game, but yeah, you texted me that, alerted me of that over the weekend, and that was the one thing as a broadcaster. I think you're more comfortable when you see certain guys and certain crews whether it be football, whether it be basketball, whatever it is, when you see him down there, you're thinking, okay, well, that takes one thing out of my mind, you know, as far as any of that. And then, quite frankly, there's others the other way around where you think, oh, boy. I mean, and sometimes you just know that, all right, buckle up for a four-hour broadcast because this one's going to be slow. And their games were never like that. And you're right. He was a fixture on the floor in the Class A and B state tournament throughout the years that I've been going, or, you know, the last decade or so, as a part of the Paragon team. And I hope that he's like going to finish the season, because he deserves the round of applause that he would get on that floor on a state championship Saturday inside the Big House. Right. Not only for what he's done as official, but also the Officials Versus Cancer that has impacted a bunch of kids' lives with their battle against pediatric cancer. That's just an awesome thing that he started, and a good legacy to leave behind as an official in the state of Oklahoma, for sure. I'm glad you remember that, because that's something that we had to get talking about.
Yes. I'd love to get him on. And I'd love to find that answer.
Well, it turns out I've got his cell phone number. So, well, I may have to shoot him a text, see if he'll come on with us, talk about a lot of that stuff. It's amazing how many times I would ask him, like, over the week, like, if we saw something weird in football, I would text him and say, hey, what was supposed to happen? I did that 2 or 3 times. Like, is this legal? Is this supposed to be happening? You know, a lot of times he'd go, yes, quit, get off the officials' back. They're doing it right. It's not just us that do it right. Super Bowl. Got just a couple of minutes to wrap it up here. What kind of from here for the throughout the week? I mean, we can beat the game to death. We can talk about everything around the game, whatever is on you guys' mind or our mind. I'm always fascinated with prop bets and the different prop bets that they can come up with. I mean, then there's just a list of thousands and thousands, but it's pretty funny to see the trends that develop with some of these prop bets. I was looking at let me pull this up with Todd Furman. He was talking about some coin toss like stats throughout the years for the Super Bowl, and I know that's always one, you know, heads or tails. So Super Bowl history, coin toss history. Tails is a 29-26 winner so far. 29 of the 55 coin tosses have been tails.
Okay.
Now, heads has made a run because they've got 3 of the last 4, including last year. The coin toss, this is crazy. It's just a weird, has nothing to do with the game, but it does. The coin toss winner has lost the last 7 Super Bowls.
Good, that was my question. That was going to be my question.
The coin toss winner has lost the last 7.
Okay.
The winner of the toss has lost the last 7. Okay. Now, I also saw yesterday, so the matchups, it's the AFC's year to be the quote-unquote home team. So the Bengals will be in their black unis. That means the Rams will be in white. The team wearing the white uniform is 14-3 over the last 7. Over the last 17 years. If Cincinnati wins the toss, just turn it off.
Just turn it off.
It's over.
It's over.
The Rams are winning the game. That's what I came up with. 14-3 for the white jerseys over the last 17 years in the Super Bowl.
What other prop bets?
There's length of the anthem.
Right, there's always that.
There's one. I heard those guys, the morning guys, talking yesterday. Had to have been yesterday, coming in about some of this stuff. So there's actually a prop bet. Say I think it's 95 seconds for the national anthem, over under. Will there be a scoring drive less than the time of the national anthem? Not the 95 seconds, the actual. So let's say the under hits by 5 and it's only 90 seconds. Now, will there be a scoring drive in less than a minute and a half? That's kind of cool. It's one that they'd be kind of hard to bet on, because what if it's a country artist, Guyton, I don't know who that is. Anyway, it's a lady. What if she's nervous and just rushes through it, and the national anthem lasts 1 minute? So now you're going to have a minute scoring drive to win that prop bet. Maybe it doesn't go live until, I mean, there's not much time between the national anthem and the kick to get action on that. So I'm sure you can bet it right now, but you just don't have any idea what that number is.
Yeah, it really does.
What if she forgets all the words and it lasts 2 seconds?
Yeah, making that bet really is concurrent on who is singing the national anthem and what style it's going to be sung in.
That's right.
If it's an R&B style, you can get all the extra notes and the elongated notes, and it takes forever, and all of a sudden you're standing there for 2.5 minutes. Like, come on, wrap it up.
See, that there's normally that number is like 2 minutes, 2 seconds.
But
this year it's a minute 35.
95 seconds.
So they're clearly expecting her to sing in a totally different way than some of the others.
Boom, boom, boom. Now, when does that clock start? When the music starts?
When her first
note comes off of her vocal cords start? That's when it starts?
Yes, when the first note is sung to when the Brave is wrapped up.
Boom.
And actually, how long do you think the Brave is going to last? The over-under there, 6 seconds.
Ah! There's a bet on a word that's going to be sung.
Oh, there's bets around the coin toss and around the national anthem that are just nuts that you can figure out. I'm going to find a list of these.
You sick gambling.
Because these are just so
just
much fun
to find so many stuff to gamble on.
Let me ask you this, because there is this one's out there too.
Do you think there's do you think people are at Super Bowl parties and someone gets up to go use the restroom? Said, I'll bet anybody $50 it takes them less than 30 seconds. I bet you 20 he doesn't wash his hands. You think there's some
probably
sick people out there just don't care. They're just throwing down money on everything that happens.
Yes, I do.
I don't understand it. I don't get it.
It makes it more exciting when you're not the one to go
pee,
I guess.
I guess. If I heard that bet, I'd take forever.
Does somebody have a stethoscope up to the door to make sure you're still
going?
How
awkward would that be to come out of the bathroom and everybody's looking at you holding money?
And then hit the stopwatch.
Or then right when you flush, you suddenly hear cheering.
Yeah.
You run out. What'd I miss? What'd I miss? Nothing. You won Joey some money.
Yeah. Joey had 5-1 on $5, and it would take you so long. Okay, so there's the Gatorade bath one, too.
Yeah, what color? Yeah, I've seen that.
Which color do you think would be the favorite? So to me, that means the most common. The most common color of Gatorade on the sidelines you would think would have the shortest odds because the odds of them grabbing
that
color.
That's the lemon lime, right?
It's not.
Is it orange?
It's orange.
Is it orange?
It's orange.
I'm going to guess that there's going to be a lot of orange Gatorade on the Bengals side.
I think that's what Spinozzi said. Well, orange is obvious because the Bengals are orange.
Right. And on the other side, that's probably will be orange, too, if that's the most common one. I would think lemon-lime. That's usually the first one
lemon
I'm grabbing.
Lemon-lime's the next one, I think.
The first one I'm grabbing is the lemon-lime.
That's the only one I drink.
Lemon-lime.
I like some of the blues.
What's the white one?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I don't like to leave the I don't like the red because just turned your entire mouth and lips red.
Isn't it crazy? Because it feels like as kids, red was always the favorite.
Yeah.
And now, even Wyatt, he will not drink the red at all. He'll drink the lemon lime for sure, and maybe you can sneak an orange in there or a purple, like the grape.
Yeah. I don't know, grape. Yeah. So the color of the Gatorade bath.
Oh, there's a ton. I'll have to print off a list.
I've seen them.
I mean, then they cross sports. They
cross sports. I guess somebody won a lot of money a few years ago when the first point scored was a safety, and they bet that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody won a lot of money in that Seattle-Denver game.
That's right, when they snapped it over Peyton's head.
Yeah.
The odds of that aren't very good.
No, it was the first points that scored. That was a bet. If the first points would be a safety, someone bet on that, made a ton of money.
Yeah, there's always the overtime bet.
Right. Will it go to overtime or
mm-hmm.
not?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can I'll bet you anything that I'm going to come in Monday a little sluggish.
I will not take that. I will not go against you there.
It's a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl with the Bengals in it. Something
we've
never experienced as of age folks.
You got two brother-in-laws that are rooting hard for the Bengals.
Last question. Do you think Brian Flores cost himself the Houston job by suing the NFL?
Absolutely.
I mean, surely they'd rather hire Brian Flores than Lovie Smith, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think he cost himself. He should have never filed it now. Not when there's five jobs open.
Yeah, he got some bad advice somewhere.
Bad legal advice. Somebody.
Yep. Somebody wanted to cash in.
Absolutely. That's what they're wanting to do. Probably still will, but it may just be that Brian Flores never gets to coach again. Yep. Everybody have a great Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.